Can you say the letter C?
It is hunting season. Oh, fuck. Hold on to this one. All right, real quick, and then we're going to dive right into it. I'm going to do a solo one here. When this airs, I will be on the mountain in Utah. I'm recording this right before I actually leave. Right now, it is Saturday morning. I'm leaving Sunday morning at 2:30 a.m. out of Cleveland. So, man, it's here. This is it. Here we go. Gosh dang, Grizzly Coolers, code WCB, for all your cooler needs. Man, oh man, oh man, hopefully I'm going to be using those a lot. I've got coolers and I got freezers kind of stashed all over the country, different states and whatnot. I kind of been doing that over the years. Man, just really helps me out when I get animals down. I know I've got chest freezers and deep freezers at Buddy's and in different places, and I've got my coolers and whatnot. So hopefully we're going to be filling a lot of those up. Black Ovis WCB10, save you some money. They got the new Merino coming out. Make sure you guys keep an eye on that. I can't tell you a whole lot about that, but what I can tell you is I'm going to be running it. I've been testing it. Man, it's killer. I mean, it is. If you liked their older Merino, gosh damn, you're going to really love this. So again, Black Ovis WCB10. Novix Tree Stands, shout out to my homies over there. For all your tree stand needs, they're back in stock with about everything. So get up to date. Don't let your whitetail season creep up on you, even if you've got these western hunts like myself. Ahead of whitetail season, make sure you're not slacking on the whitetail job. Hunter's Box Club, okay, September. Devin and Kurt and I have created a really, really dope t-shirt, CC Hunt Files related. Super, super, super appreciative of that. So there's going to be a link in the show notes. You have to click the link to get the free box shipped to you, and then it's $29.99 for every month after. That's going to be the dope shirt every month. Plus, you're also going to get a few gifts in there in every box. Definitely check that out. It's Hunter's Box Club. Shout out to my man Devin. I'll be on the mountain with him here in a few short days. Gosh, is that everybody? I think it is. All right. Man, here we go. Bow season, gosh dang, I cannot believe it's already here. Just jacked to the freaking sky. Yeah, just a rundown, you know. I mean, summer's flown for most of you. You know, me with two boys and just, you know, I feel like I've got seven jobs. It's more like four or five, but between farming and you know, the podcast and the writing and the hunting stuff, and then pressure washing for my buddy Cole Sycophus and Advanced Pressure Washing. Shout out to Cole. He'll be picking up my slack while I'm gone for a few weeks. And then obviously, you know, farming with my dad and stuff, it just seems like I'm pulled in a million different directions. And, you know, obviously I've got Easton and Keaton, and man, summers just go quick. They're both back in school and you know, it just, it's crazy how fast the summers go. But man, all spring and all summer, you know, it's like I'm working for, you know, this time. And I do a lot of my working out at night. This year I really dedicated a lot of time and a lot of nights. And for those that are in my circle and are, you know, people I talk to on the daily, I think I'm fucking nuts, but I did most of my training at like between 10 and midnight. For the last month and a half, I've done a ton of weighted hikes, up and down the road. I make the loop. It's about a mile and a half. I do that two or three times a night with anywhere from 70 to 100 pounds on my back. And that's just, for me, that gets me ready, you know, to have a heavy pack on, and it just gets my body comfortable being uncomfortable. But, you know, it's like you're doing all this work and all this shooting your bow. You know, I got that dialed sight just freaking moneyed out. Just, oh my God, love that freaking Arxos. If you guys haven't checked out Dialed Archery and the Arxos site over there that Scott has going on, and Taylor and all the guys, shout out to them. Oh man, just fucking love that thing. But doing all this training and shooting, and man, my mind is constantly just on these western hunts, you know. Not that whitetails and turkeys and stuff don't matter, but it's just, I'm always thinking about that adventure. what's on that next ridgeline and what's over in that next basin. And I'm constantly working, you know, I'm working on my craft. I'm working on trying to be better. I'm working on, you know, just mentally being tougher. And every year, you know, I'm taking away so many hits to the mouth, but they're learning experiences. You know, last year I spent 57 days out west, didn't kill a damn thing. Was back at full draw a couple times, was damn close on some good bucks, damn close on a really good bull. Actually, my best opportunity on a big bull was on that the elk hunt in December that I called the dreaded elk hunt. And you know, but I took away so much from those 57 days between Wyoming with me and Devin and Kurt, and then Colorado, and then Utah. I mean, I spent 57 days, you know, out west last year hunting, and just took away so much from that. You know, I mean, it was it wasn't really that I was failing. I was getting into a ton of game and getting into a ton of opportunity. I was just looking for. I was, you know, Devin and I were hunting the barnacle buck and Martin, specific buck. And then the rut came and I was looking for a good buck. And, you know, I mean, I stay true to my saying, you know, I close these podcasts out with don't fucking settle. And I wasn't going to shoot a buck just to shoot a buck. You know, I'm looking for good bucks and looking for good bulls. And, even the dreaded elk hunt, you know, I said, hey, any legal bull on that hunt, I'd be happy with. And I mean, I ended up getting on a couple studs, Martin and I, but, you know, you spend all this time and all this energy and you're constantly focused on these hunts. And for me, gosh, I just love what they do for me. I mean, they just keep me focused and they keep me sane, and it's constantly giving me something to work for. You know, I've said it before, you know, there's guys that are hungry for success, and then there's guys that are just, they're fucking starving for it. And, you know, man, I'm proud to say, like, my circle, the guys I run with, they're a product of that. Like, they're fucking starving for it. You know, Eric and Kurt and Devin and, you know, Brian Barneys and my buddy Jared Knighton and, you know, just these different guys that I'm connected with, that I'm really close with, that I consider really good friends. You know, Bomar Tonic and just a ton of, you know, Emily Shad. They're every one of them, they're fucking starving for success, whether it's the hunting industry and the role they play there, or it's just life, or it's their job, or it's a career, or it's just everything they do, they're fucking starving for it. And it's like, man, bull hunting, and especially like out west, it's given me this thing that I'm just constantly starving for it. I'm starving for the success, you know, like I'm thinking about it and I'm training for it and I want it so bad. And it's made me a better person. It's made me a better dad. You know, I mean, I put so much emphasis on my kids and being involved in their life, you know. And when I have time away from them, it's honestly hunting trips. That's it. And it's hard for me to be away from them, but I look at it as like, when I'm on these trips, if I'm away from my kids and I'm not, and I am going to, you know, miss the time with them, fuck, I am all in. I mean, if I'm going to be away from them, like, I owe it to them and me. Like, I'm fucking starving for it. Like, I'm out there, it's business. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm having a good time and I'm enjoying every second of it, but like, I don't take that time lightly. And I'm not hungry for success out there. I'm fucking starving for it. I'm doing everything I possibly can. And that's just what this passion has given me with bow hunting. You know, it's just made me the guy that I am. And I owe a lot to it. And I owe a lot of, you know, people that I'm connected with and you know, just kind of what I've learned and what I've seen from other people. And I'm always trying to pick up bits of information and look at what someone else is doing. You know, like the first time I ever hunted with Brian Barney, I saw how his life was molded around bow hunting and his family, and how he had this lifestyle that allowed him to do all these trips and take off time and be self-sufficient and just fucking go for it. I mean, everything that guy does, he's just all in. Him and Dan Heverin, who I just had on the podcast, that's Brian's right-hand man. They're best buddies. They hunt together all the time. Those dudes really like showed me how it is or what it's like to have a lifestyle built around family and bow hunting. And I mean, I'll forever be grateful for that. And I remember coming home from that very first hunt with those guys. It was a spring bear hunt, and it just changed my whole outlook. It just fucking changed everything for me. Just really, really changed it all. So anyways, Yeah, I'm just, gosh damn, I'm just freaking stoked. I got Utah coming up. I'll be out there. I'm going to get to hunt next week for 4 or 5 days out there before I head to Colorado with my good buddy Jared Knighton. But, man, Utah's really cool. I got a ton of really good friends out there. Shout out to Jason Mackey and Martin Shag and Devin Leonard and Jared Knighton. And, you know, I just got a lot of really good buddies out there. And all the guys over at Camo Fire and Black Overs and Crispy, there's a whole pile of guys over there, too many for me to name, but shout out to all those guys. You know, I've got so many good buddies out there. I love to hunt it, but it's tough, man. It's you know, it's not a secret, the unit I hunt, super highly pressured. You know, I mean, I hunt the front a lot, you know, and I mean, it's tough. I mean, I tell people all the time, like, there's big deer there, you know, and I'm not like going to downplay that. I mean, people know I hunt that, you know, I mean, I run into people on the mountain all the time that I know, and they know me. And, but you know, that's a good unit to talk about. Like, you know, you're going to run into pressure and people. I mean, it's nothing for me to not see 15, 20 guys, you know, that's pretty standard, pretty normal, but you can't be afraid of that. And there's units in Colorado where I've hunted a ton of people, Idaho, ton of people, Montana, ton of people. And, you know, you can't be afraid of that pressure. You know, you can't bow hunt scared. You got to go into it with the mindset of, you know, you're going to go in and you're going to figure it out. And it's kind of one of those deals where I feel like a lot of guys, they get very frustrated and they get very territorial and they almost start to like, you know, this is my spot, this is my buck, man, it's public. Like, it's fucking public. I mean, you know, everyone's got an equal opportunity out there. And, you know, be the guy that if you find a buck and you see another guy or gal making a play on it, don't be that guy that tries to go in and purposely blow it up or goes in and tries to cut them off. I mean, hey, if a stock's already being made, sit back and basically silently root the guy or girl on. I mean, they were there first. You know, just have courtesy. Like, I wrote an article for Peterson's Bowhunting this year about public land etiquette, a lost art. And, you know, I see this more and more every year. I hunt public so much out west. I see more and more negativity and more guys that want to try to, for lack of a better term, fuck another guy over, then potentially be there to like help or root him on. You know, be the guy that sits back, watches the stock, and if the buck or bull gets killed, you go down and help pack out. Be the guy that meets up with a guy that's already got the buck glassed and is like, hey, do you want me to run the glass for you? And you go down and try to put a stock and we can use hand signals or flags or whatever and try to help. You know, be that guy. It'll come twofold. You know, there's been a bunch of times where I've been asked to go on hunts with people. And I take a lot of pride in that because people want me to be on hunts with them. Prime example, Kurt asked Devin and I as soon as he drew that Wyoming tag, super special hunt, super special tag. That is something that I really hold dear to my heart that he asked me to be on that hunt with him. He wanted me to be there. You know, that speaks volumes for what Kurt thinks of me, what Kurt thinks of Devin. You know, he knew he would need help. You know, positive people and wanted us to be there to share that with him. Like, you want to be that guy. You want to be the guy that people call to help go on a blood trail. They call when they missed a buck and they need picked up. They hit a buck bad and they need to, you know, get some advice and get calmed down and have a beer and figure out the next plan. You know, they drew this once in a lifetime tag and they know you're a go-getter and they know you're a team player and they want you to be there. Like, you want to be that guy. Be that guy. Like, that's the guy that I want with me on a hunt, and that's the guy I want to be. You know, Martin and Devin and these and Jason and different guys, you know, out there in Utah, they'll find a good buck or a good bull. Like, right now, Martin's on a really good buck, and I told him, hey, man, when I come out, if you want me to come up and help you for 3 or 4 days, so basically I'm not even going to hunt, I'm going to get behind the glass and try to help you kill this buck, I'm all in, I'll do it. You know, like, you want to be that guy because it'll come twofold. Those guys have helped me. They'll continue to help me. I help them. Like, be a good hunting buddy. And even if it's someone you don't know on the mountain, that it all comes back full circle. Like, being an asshole out there, it isn't going to get you anywhere. And you don't want to be the friend that someone's not excited. Like, I want to be the guy that, you know, a couple times here in the last few years, you know, Devin's killed a buck or killed a bull, and I'm like one of his first calls. And I answer the phone, and he's just going fucking crazy. Buck down, down, dude. Fuck. I mean, it's just I love that shit. I love it. I eat it up. I mean, I get so pumped for my buddies. You know, when Kurt killed that buck last year, when Devin killed the barnacle buck, I honestly think I might get more excited for other people than I do myself. And it's just like I know what goes into it, and I know what it means to those guys. And I mean, I just love to see my circle succeed, and I love to see everybody, you know, even people that don't like me and don't like this podcast and whatever. I mean, even the haters, like, I don't want to see anybody fail. I want to see success. I mean, I'm not rooting against anybody in life. You know, I don't have the energy and time to piss with that shit. I just don't. That's not even in my wheelhouse to think about throughout the day. Haters and hate and negativity, I don't have time for that. I don't have time. And if you have time to put forth energy into that, you're not working hard enough, in my opinion. Shoot more arrows, train harder, be with your kids more, go take your wife out more, go do something. Go get another job. Go do something that is going to basically get you the hell out of this mindset that you've got to feed into this negative energy. But anyway, so yeah, Utah, if I don't go up and help Martin and stuff, man, I think Devin and I will probably team up. And you know, it's a cool unit out there, ton of country. A lot of great units in Utah, and like I said, a lot of pressure, but man, those bucks and velvet, there's, you know, it's just a game of, you really got to try to find them early. There's not a ton of high country over there. It's not like Colorado. You know, there's a lot of bucks that are in secondary living already right now. And what I mean by that is they're not bedding out in the open. They're already down in the timber. You know, they don't spend a ton of time. They feed in the open, they go down in the timber, they bed, they'll probably switch beds again between 11, 12, and then in the evening they're going to feed out. So a lot of times in Utah, I'm actually hunting deer almost like a whitetail. Like I'm getting to a spot, getting the wind right, and hoping they feed back out because I watched them do that in the morning. Or I'm going to get to a spot super early and hope they feed in there in the morning, or I'm trying to catch them maybe going back to their bed. You know, it's a very strategic spot and stock game. Almost like it's an ambush style. And so that's a lot different than like, say, Colorado or Wyoming. But I really like it out there. You know, it's a lot of good opportunity, and man, I love to connect with my buddies. And so Jared Knighton, he drew the same bull and buck tag as me. We applied in Colorado together, so he'll be out there. So on Friday, then Jared and I will head to Colorado. And man, we've been doing a ton of e-scouting, and Jared's been to that unit in Colorado twice now. And done some scouting for us, and we've been on maps and just talking to different guys, and you know, we're really excited to get to Colorado and cut our legs loose. I mean, that's Colorado's kind of like the pinnacle for me. Like that's the man, that high country mule deer hunts over there, they're just fucking brutal. You got to really love mule deer and really want to kill a buck over there. You know, it's one of those things where I think a lot of guys are almost afraid or scared because it is so big, you know, and your bucks are at 12, 13, pushing 14,000 feet up in that high country, you know, and it's tough to live up there. Let alone hike and hunt. I mean, it's tough to just hike in there and live and sleep, eat, you know, everything you do is hard. Everything you do is on an incline, decline, everything's bunch of elevation gain and loss. You know, it can be tough to get water. This year it's been pretty wet, so that won't be a huge issue. But, you know, there's just times where I think guys almost hunt afraid or they hunt scared, and you can't fucking do that. You know, you can't hunt scared. You can't hunt afraid. You know, it's a shooter mentality. You know, am I cautious on these hunts? Absolutely. You have to be. Like, you got to know what you're doing. I mean, at 12, 13, 14,000 feet, you know, you can't take a risk. You can't take a slip. You can't take a bad fall. I've been there in Colorado, and I mean, I'm lucky to be here to honestly be on this podcast talking about it right now, because I took a bad spill in 2019 trying to pack out my buck that I killed solo. I'm like 11, 12 miles in, took a bad spill. And I mean, had I not have got myself stopped by jamming my ankle in this little crevice, I mean, it would have been bad. It ended ugly. I mean, I would have been a mangled mess, another 100 foot down for sure, or dead. You know, and that's just the brutal reality of it. You know, and was I scared in that moment? Oh, fuck yeah, I was. But I learned a lot from that. You know, I learned a lot about myself in those moments. In that night, that couple hours getting to the top of that peak to get the hell out of there, I learned a lot about myself. But you can't hunt afraid, you can't hunt scared. And going into these hunts, you know, you make these plans and you take all the precaution that you can, but you know, shit's going to go wrong. It's just part of these hunts, you know, and it's troubleshooting. You got to figure it out. And you know, any of these hunts that you guys are about to go on, whether it's whitetails early season or antelope, elk, mule deer, whatever the case may be, you know, we all make this roadmap and we have this plan of what's going to happen and what we think is going to happen. And I'm here to tell you, I go on a lot of hunts. I'm very thankful and fortunate to be able to do that. Never realistically do any of my hunts go as planned. Hardly ever does it work out the way I think it's going to work out. And that's okay. I'm already prepared for that. I've done enough of these. I'm okay with that. But you got to go into these hunts with the mentality of, you know, it's not going to be cut and dry. You know, I've had hunts where I thought there'd be water. There's no water. I thought I was low enough off the ridgeline to get out of lightning, and I'm not. I'm moving my camp at 2 a.m. Last year, in Utah, I rode out one of the worst lightning storms I'll probably ever be in, so bad that I had to ditch my tent and drop down further into the timber at 2 o'clock in the morning in my frickin' boxers and a t-shirt, throw my boots on and get the hell out of there because I was worried about getting shish kebabbed. Yeah, I was already prepared for lightning in a spot that I thought would be good and still, you know, had to bail. I mean, it's, you know, so there's always going to be these challenges. There's always going to be these things that we have to keep in mind that it's going to happen. You're going to have shit goes haywire, but the killers, the 10 percenters, whatever you want to call it, those guys don't get rattled. They're already prepared for this. They mentally are ready for the wheels to fall off the wagon, and then they're going to pick the wheel up, fix the wheel, put the wheel back on and continue on forward. And that's the biggest thing I can't stress is on these hunts, it's such a mental game, and there's so much to be said for the guys that are mentally prepared. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll take the guy who's mentally tough and out of shape any day of the week. I'll take him to Colorado, excuse me, over the guy that can run a marathon, but absolutely is nowhere close to being ready mentally to test himself, test his capabilities, test his gear, test what he can do, and more importantly, mentally put himself in stressful situations. If you're not ready for that on these hunts, they will bite you 100%. In my very early stages of going out west, one of the biggest things I had to try to figure out was the mental game. You know, you want to be able to control as much as you can control. You know, we all like to control factors. We all like to be able to make things go the way we want them to go. And a lot of these hunts that I go on, there's a lot out of my control, a ton out of my control. Other hunters, pressure, the weather, water, elevation sickness. You twist your ankle. I mean, there's just so many things that can go wrong. And once I started calming down and realizing that, hey, as this shit takes place, when shit hits the fan, I'm going to stop. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to reconnect with myself. I'm going to reconnect and put another plan together, and then we're going to move forward. You know, there's never this negativity that creeps in. You just can't allow it. And this goes for life too. This goes for relationships. This goes for your kids. I mean, the second that you start letting the demons in, you're setting yourself up for fucking failure. And if you're going to let the demons in, that's on you because that's a choice. You don't have to do that. Okay. So if you're on this hunt, and water's scarce and you thought there would be water, and there's not, and you know, you've got to make a trip and drop 1,000 foot of elevation every other couple of days to get water. And that wasn't part of your game plan, but now it is. It is what it is. You're going to make the most of it. We're not going to, you know, you can't get pissed and be mad and just let that completely ruin everything. No, it just is what it is. Okay, here's the new game plan. I'm going to be able to carry enough water up for 2 or 3 days. Every probably third or fourth day, I'm going to have to go back down It's going to take me a few hours, go down and get water. It's going to be a suck fest. It's going to suck. And then I'm going to climb back up 1,000 foot to camp. I'm going to burn basically the middle of the day doing this. It's going to be hot, but it is what it is. That's my only option. Now, the other option, well, I should say it's one of your options. The second option would be get the hell out of there and trick yourself into leaving, trick yourself into going to another spot, trick yourself into, oh, the water's not close enough. I should, but see though, there again, you're letting the demons in. You're letting all this negativity affect and cloud your mind. And these hunts, like I said, it's so important to not do that. But, man, going down a rabbit hole there, but I just, gosh damn, I hate to see when people, they let negativity come in and I get messages from people all the time. And speaking of that, hey, I just wanted to tell everybody, you know, man, if I try to get back to everybody as quick as I can. Don't be afraid if I don't message you back to shoot me a thing. Hey, man, did you see my message? Did you get it? Like, sometimes I do, and I'm doing something, and I just forget to get back to people. But I genuinely do. I appreciate the fuck out of each and every one of you that message me. Man, it's honestly mind-blowing how many of you want my advice or opinion. And you know what? I'm happy to help. Like, I want to help. I want to, you know, try to do whatever I can to, you know, to help you guys succeed. I want to see you guys succeed. You know, I want to see you guys behind big bucks and big bulls and fuck. I mean, I'll do whatever I can to help you, but I get asked this question a lot, you know, how do you mentally stay in the game? And, you know, I mean, sounds like a simple question, but you know, you've got to get yourself comfortable being uncomfortable. And when shit hits the fan, you've just got to be able to pull her back together, reel her back in. And I've been fortunate to hunt with, in my opinion, some of the best, if not the best, bow hunters in the game. You know, the Devin Leonards, Brian Barney, Dan Hevron. I mean, these guys, you know, when I watch them glass, when I watch them hunt, when I watch them hike, when I watch them, everything is a rhyme and a reason. Everything is all in. They're fucking starving for it. Like, there is no half-ass. When things go wrong, Dan and I were in Idaho for 14 days a few years back chasing bucks and bulls and just getting our asses kicked. I mean, the dust, it was the worst dust I have never seen dust like this in my life. So dry. And we are just getting our asses handed to us. I bet we moved camps 8 or 9 times in those 13, 14 days. But anyway, Dan was constantly like, dude, tomorrow, this is it. Like at night, we'd be looking at the maps. Tomorrow, this is it, man. We're making our move. We're going to go to that basin. We're going to find bucks. We're going to find bulls. We're going to camp here. We're going to do this. It was always, this is the new plan. This is the new, tomorrow's the day. Over the next ridge is the spot. It was this constant reassurance that we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. And to be honest with you, we never fucking figured it out. We never killed a buck. We never killed a bull. We ended up getting on some, but we never truly cracked the code over there. But that positive reinforcement and that confidence that Dan had, it was so contagious to me. Because I was constantly like, yeah, you're right. So I learned, right? Like that was like a turning point for me when it comes to the mental game. Dan was constantly keeping himself pumped up and hyped up. I'm going to find the spot. I'm going to figure it out. We're going to do this. We're going to do it. And it was infectious. And that's the thing, is especially if you're solo, you only have you to look at. You have got to keep mentally in check. You got to keep it sound. You know, you've got to keep yourself from letting the demons. The demons can come to the door, but you can't fucking let them in. You cannot start thinking, shouldn't be here. Listen, we worked all year, okay? Some of you are working 3, 4, 5 jobs. Some of you have a 7-day-a-week job. Some of you, you know, some of you get 1 week. You get 1 week to go chase your dream. Go hunt a bull, go hunt a buck, whatever it is. Do not let the fucking demons in on day 3 and ruin what's going on. Do not do it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you will regret that for the entire next year. One hunt in my life years ago, my second solo trip to Colorado, I'll never forget. I'm supposed to stay 9 days. I packed out on day 7. I had every excuse under the sun. I've told this story before. I had hunted antelope for 6 or 7 days with Brian and Dan in Montana before him, tore my feet up, got to Colorado, was struggling, running out of food. I had every excuse under the sun as to why I needed to leave. Cut her short. So on day 7, I packed out. I got halfway home, pulled over, and honestly contemplated fucking driving back to hunt one more day. I was so disappointed, so upset, so frustrated with myself because, number one, I fucking gave up on my plan. Number two, I gave up on me. And number three, I went against my absolute golden rule, which is when I set out to do something, I'm giving it everything I got. I'm going to be fucking starving for it, and I'm going to go all in. I wasn't all in. I started off all in, and I let negativity and the demons in the door. I will never let that happen again. That was the longest 28-hour drive of my life because all I did was sit and think about, wow, you worked and you waited and you did all this training and all this for this big title fight, and in the freaking fifth round, you decided to throw her in with 2 more minutes left and give up. You made all the excuses under the sun to come back instead of sticking it out and instead of seeing what happened. To this day, I'll never know. I'm never going to know what would have happened in those 2 days. Maybe I don't kill. Maybe I do kill. Who knows? Hell, maybe I get struck by lightning. I mean, I don't know, you know? But I will forever think about that. And there's been times where I've had to flip back to that. You know, I'm struggling and I'm having a really tough time. And, you know, it's tough for me to try to figure out what's going on. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I've got to reconnect. And I think back to that hunt. I think back to basically in my mind what it felt like to be in that moment, what it felt like to feel that feeling of just disappointment in myself. I never want to fucking feel that again. Never. But with that being said, gosh damn, yeah, I'm just stoked. Just so pumped, man. I'm so blessed. Like I said, I got that Utah tag. I got Colorado. Then I come back for a week, and then I go back to Colorado to go chase bulls. So I got a really busy couple months. Super busy. But, you know, it's so much fun just to be able to, you know, chase these tags and go on these hunts and get to hunt with buddies. And man, I just can't stress enough. You know, I talked about it earlier, but just being a good hunting buddy and sharing those moments. And then, so this year, Easton, God, I'm bouncing around all over the place. I apologize. my mind's just in a million freaking places. You know, it has been for the last week, but, so Easton, he's 6, my oldest. So he's got the crossbow this year. Killed his first bird with me this year, this spring, and man, he's going to be ready to rock and roll this year on in deer season. So not that I'm not excited about deer season here in Ohio for myself, but I'm like, everything's about Easton. You know, we put a bunch of big time food plots in, and him and Keaton helped me, and you know, they helped me put out minerals and big time and you know, check cameras. And I mean, that's just something that, you know, we love to do, and we go glass and scout and different things, and I got his blind already. I'm just so pumped. So excited to get him out. So like, you know, I'll come back from, I'll hunt Utah deer, Colorado elk, and then I'll come back and it'll be Ohio's whitetail season. I'll actually miss the first week. I'll be chasing bulls with Jared in Colorado, but, it'll be a lot of fun, doing that. But man, I cannot wait to get in this freaking, to jump in and get in there with Easton. And oh my God, like as a dad, there's just nothing better. Like I cannot wait for that moment. Hopefully he's lucky and blessed and has the opportunity. I'm sure we will, you know, we'll hunt hard and make it fun. And I'm sure he's going to get his chance, you know, but I just, oh man, I mean, I will lose my shit when I, you know, watch him kill his first deer. I mean, that's just a moment, you know. I can remember me and my dad, me killing my first, and it was just a doe, you know, and, but oh my God, I mean, that was just like, I don't know if I've ever been, besides my kids being born, I don't know if I've ever been more proud, you know, like dad and I are doing this two man deer drive to each other. It's in shotgun season, you know, and I'll never forget cracking this doe and smoker. drops, and Dad heard one shot, you know, and he's hurrying up trying to get to me, you know, and I'm trying to meet him in the middle, and I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. Like, we were so pumped, so excited. You know, Dad knew how much it meant to me. You know, I'd been hunting a few years and had some close calls. But yeah, I'm just really freaking excited, man, to share in that moment with Easton, and then call my buddies, Ryan and Adam and my dad and Keaton, and, you know, and just have, you know, their mom. And that's a big moment, you know, kids' first year. I mean, I can't stress enough, like, that shit's important to kids, you know? I mean, I see a lot of kids, you know, that don't have parents at games, and they don't have parents at their first day of school, and they don't, you know, that stuff's important. That stuff's big. It's going to be a party when Easton kills. I mean, I'm going to have, you know, anybody and everybody that wants to come on that track job and celebrate. I mean, that's a big freaking deal. And I mean, I can't wait. I cannot wait to make those phone calls and be able to have people share in that moment. You know, I mean, it's just, he was so stoked when he killed that turkey. I mean, I freaking cried when he killed that bird this year. I mean, I just, that as a dad, to see the love for the outdoors and hunting and farming that both my boys have, it's just, it's crazy, honestly, to see it. And yeah, I can't freaking wait. Absolutely cannot wait to be in that moment. But so I got a lot of questions here recently. I want to go over a couple of them while I got some time here. So most of them here recently have been Western related, as far as, you know, mule deer and elk. So a couple really good ones where I had a guy ask me my sleep system, what I'm running. So, you know, I run either Sitka, Kafaru, or Western Mountaineering, down in synthetic bags, synthetic if it's really wet, down if I'm in the high country. I range anywhere from 30 degree bags all the way down to zero. I've got a big Agnes Core 4, I believe it's called the SXL, for a pad. Run Kafaru and Big Agnes for tents and shelters, teepees, all that stuff. So sleep system, that's kind of my jam. I got a little pillow. I think it's a little inflatable pillow. I do bring it sometimes, and then a lot of other times I'll just take my puffy pants and puffy jackets. I mean, it weighs like an ounce and a half. So, I mean, it is nice to have like two pillows. You know, you can use your puffy jacket, puffy pants, then have another pillow. Like, I like to, you know, it's kind of nice to have like a little bit of comfort from home. So I kind of like a second pillow. So I can use my puffy jacket, puffy pants, kind of fold those in themselves, and then put this other pillow on top of that. Makes a nice little, I want to say that little pillow is from Big Agnes, but I could be wrong on that. But that's kind of my sleep system and shelter. I use a SteriPen for water. Had a couple guys ask about the JetBoil and stuff. You know, there's a million different companies that make good little burners, you know, as far as dehydrated meals. Now, one really cool thing I'm doing this year is I'm using Backpack Logistics. My good buddy Dustin Whitmer, which, shout out to him, just killed a stud antelope in New Mexico, and he was on the podcast not too long ago. So he's got a really cool deal going on. You can actually use the code CLINT10. I got my own pro pack on the website, so you can see what I'm taking on all my trips, but you can basically build a meal kit, and you can pick how many you want, and you choose and select your items, and he'll break down how much fat, how much protein, how much sugar, how many calories per ounce, what it weighs, and he'll break all this down for you. And then what you can do is, instead of you buying all this stuff, you go on the website, you build the pack of food that you want, or there's guys on there like, me and Tony Treek and Muley Slayer. I know Jordan Budge, she's on there. We've all got these pro packs, so it's like what we're taking. You could just click on our pro packs and like, oh, I'm just going to take what Clint's taking. I don't want to fuck around and pick all this stuff out. I like what Tony's got. I like what Clint's got, whatever. But this Backpack Logistics deal is really, really cool as far as for a meal. Excuse me, I get asked all the time about meals. That's honestly kind of the way to go if you've never done it before, because he can break all that down, and it's all in a airlock resealable bag. So it all comes packaged. Everything is in each day. Everything you need is for each day, individually packed. It's a pretty slick system. I'm looking really, really forward to using that. Another question I've gotten a lot here is mule deer related. So glassing, how to find bucks, stay with bucks, what the game plan is there. So like I said, like I'll be hunting Utah first and Colorado. They're a little bit different. Utah is, I definitely have to play more of the ambush style game than just spotting and stalking. I can't stress enough how important it is to be on your vantage before it's daylight. You want to make sure you're there and glassing as soon. I mean, I'm glassing before I can even actually glass. Like I am ready, locked and loaded. The second the lights come on, I'm on it. You also want to be the last guy off the mountain. Some of those bucks, they do not come out of that thick stuff until right at last light, and you've got to have an idea of what they're doing from day to day to make your game plan. So Utah is a different strategy. I'm really, really focusing on where they're going to be and trying to kill them in those spots. A lot of times it's later in the day or evening. I rarely, you know, make a ton of plays in morning or even midday. As far as stocks in Utah, now Colorado is different because a lot of these bucks are super high. They're up in the high country. So my philosophy there is I'm trying to find them and I can physically watch them bed. A lot of times they're in spots where I can keep eyes on them at all times. So if I can keep eyes on a buck at all times, he doesn't go down into the timber. He's actually bedding up in the high country. I'm going to make a move around noon, 1 o'clock, and I'm going to try to kill this buck with the thermals rising as the air is warming up in the afternoon. A lot of my plays are in that 1 to 2 o'clock in Colorado when I go after bucks, but it's a different game. I usually can keep eyes on a buck the whole time. They're usually not down in that secondary living or in the thick stuff. You know, there's a lot more high country above tree line there. So Wyoming and Colorado is a different game than a lot of the places I hunt in Utah. And that is more of a glass traditional spot and stock type game. So honestly, my best advice for guys, you know, that are kind of wondering what the game plan is there on glassing up bucks and whatnot, you know, you've got to kind of tailor the hunt to the deer. I see too many times where guys want to make a hunt all about what they're good at or what they like. But in reality, you might have to change tactics, think outside the box, because what the deer are giving you is what the deer are giving you. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. If you see a buck that's fed out in a meadow 2 nights in a row, and then he goes back into the timber after the morning feed, but he's out in the evening, you need to be there. You know, you need to be there. You need to hope that you're going to catch him on that second or third time. And that, you know, live and die by the 3-strike rule. If I see a buck do something twice, I'm going to be there the third time. Bet your ass on it, I'm going to be there. So, you know, it's just situational. It really is just keeping an open mind and kind of putting a plan together for what the deer are giving you. Now, I'm trying to think a couple of the other questions. So glassing setups. I'm running an Alpine Pro Black Ovis tripod. I got my Leupold. I got the Sanium. I got 12x50 binos. I got the big 85 spotter. Spotting scope is super, super, super important. I like to do a lot of my panning and finding deer with the 12x50s on. I put those on my tripod as well. It saves stress off my neck and back from trying to freehand. I'm a lot more steady. So I like to do a lot of my gridding with my binos. And then once I get on deer and find a buck, then I usually switch to the spotter. And now I'm really picking things out. I'm looking for other deer around him. I'm looking for other animals around him. You know, I'm looking at the path of my stock, of how I'd want to approach him. I'm really now getting into the nitty gritty, and that 85 is really good for that. But I do most of my glassing with my binos, and then when I need to, I pull out the spotter and pick apart with that. But so I'm using the new MagView digiscoping, basically like adapter. So it's all off of magnets and stuff. Really, really cool. Check that out if you guys are in the market for that. It's just a little plate that goes on the back of your phone, and then there's a scope cover, and then there's a bino cover, and you just put your phone right on it, and the magnet puts it right up against, and you put your lens, you know, on the lens of your camera on your phone, on the lens of your glass, and boom, the app's really cool. Man, yeah, check them out. Magview.com, really cool company. Shout out to those guys for sending me this stuff to try out. I've really been impressed with it so far. Another question I had was, what is my thoughts and kind of what's my philosophy on when to move camp, when to change locations for deer and elk? So I'm usually like a 2 to 3 glassing session kind of guy. So if I glass a morning and an evening and I'm not seeing what I want to see, I'm probably out. I'm probably leaving if I have not already found a big buck. Now, if I found a big buck and I know a big buck's in the area, I will hunt that area until either A, I kill him, I know he got killed, or I run out of time. Once I find a big buck, I usually don't like to leave. I try to figure out what's going on. Unless I feel like he completely blew out, and there's just no chance of me relocating him with the time I've got left, then I may move on and try to find another good buck. But I mean, you know, I don't leave elk to find other elk. I don't leave a buck to find another buck. So I'm pretty content with that philosophy and kind of staying put there. You know, I think a lot of guys get caught up on, they're looking for this perfect stock, this perfect opportunity. And Dan Hebert and I talked about that on his episode there a week or so ago. Look for reasons to go on a stock, not reasons to not go on a stock. Here's the deal. The chances of getting that perfect high percentage play where it's going to be like, oh, dude, this is like 80% chance this buck dies, or 90% chance. You can run into that. But here's the thing. A lot of plays and a lot of animals I've killed, there was like a 20 or 30% chance that it could work. And I'm like, you know what? But if this happens and that happens, oh, I'm going to be right there. Like, I'm going for it. I'm always looking for reasons to go on a stock. Now, I'm not reckless. I don't ever try to beat the wind. If the wind is completely wrong, I'm not doing it. I'm not just going to recklessly go in because my mind tells me I can do it, so I'm going to go do it. No, like, I mean, I'm playing the game and I'm being smart about it, but look for reasons to go for it. If you've got an opportunity, you need to take it. There's been a lot of hunts where I've worked 8, 9, 10, 11 days for one opportunity. And if I would have found a reason to not go on that opportunity, I wouldn't have killed anything. I wouldn't even have had a stock. And that's just brutal reality. So, I mean, if you get a good opportunity, but you're sitting back on your heels going, well, it could be a little better. Maybe I should wait. I'm telling you, I'm the guy that's like, nope, that's a good play. That's a good stock. That's what I like when I'm on these hunts. That's what I'm there for. I'm there to go on stocks. I'm there to go on plays. If you're a quarterback, your job's to throw touchdowns. Could you throw interceptions? Absolutely. But here's the deal. You think Tom Brady's worried about fucking throwing interceptions? You think Aaron Rodgers is worried about throwing interceptions? Derek Carr? I mean, these guys are not, they are not afraid of failure. They're not afraid of interceptions. They are looking for touchdowns. The shooter mentality. I mean, I go back to sports a lot because I'm a big sports guy. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, killers. Shooter mentality. You know how many game-winning shots those two missed? No. No one knows how many of those. But look at the hundreds that they freaking made. That's what everybody looks at. And you know why they made those? Because they weren't afraid of the misses to miss again. No, it was 5 seconds to go. We're down two. I want the ball in my hands. I know I got to run down here, hit a 30-footer to win the game. And that's what they did. Tom Brady, I mean, I've hated that guy my whole life because I'm a big Oakland Raiders fan and the New England Patriots and the Oakland Raiders. And it's just, the Tuck rule. I'll never forget that AFC championship years and years ago in the snow. I was on my parents' freaking living room crying when they lost that game. I fucking hated that guy my whole life. But I respect the shit out of him. He's the greatest that ever played. He's a GOAT. Why is he the GOAT? The dude's never been afraid of failure. The dude's not afraid. If he was a mule deer hunter, that guy is going on stocks and making it happen. Why? Not afraid. You give him a sliver of an opportunity, he bets on himself. I can't tell you how much that I want to stress on that. Bet on yourself. People be like, oh, well, who you betting on? Who you betting on? Fucking, I'm betting on me. I'm going house money on myself. Be confident. Have it in you. You know what you've put into these hunts. You know what you've trained. You know you've shot. You like when you're out there, it's on you. Have the confidence. Go after it. Don't be afraid. Do not hunt afraid. Be fucking starving for it. Have that shooter mentality. Man, I can't stress enough, like, the confidence is such a big thing. It's like that in life. You go into a job interview, you're getting ready to go ask your fiance or your girlfriend to marry you, or you're on a mule deer hunt, like whatever the hell it is. Man, be confident. We only get one trip around the sun. There's no time to do this half-assed, I don't know, I'm sort of nervous. Fuck nervous. Fuck being afraid. Get in there and get it done. Have the confidence. You know what? You mess up a stock, you go find another buck. You blow a big bull out because you made the wrong move and the wind shifted and caught you. Okay, go find another one. Get on plays, get on stocks, get on opportunities. You know, you're hunting big deer in Kentucky early season. You're getting in tight on acorns. You're going to bump some deer. I've been there, done it. You're going to get on those ridges. You're going to blow a few deer out. You're going to bump some deer. Fucking it is what it is. Get in there, get after it. No one is going to sit back on their heels and find success. I'm going to tell you that right now. The guys finding success on these tags, whether it's whitetails early season, whether it's mule deer, whether it's elk, it's the guys going after it. It's the guys going for it. It's the guys failing. You know how many stock attempts I've failed? So many. But guess what? I've picked it up and kept going. And then the next day or 4 days later or 6 days later, boom, I get another opportunity and I fucking make it happen. Don't be back on your heels. Stay up on the balls of your feet and go after it. I can't stress that enough. Man, it's freaking hunting season. Gosh damn, it's already been 50 minutes of me rambling on. I have no idea where this podcast has went, to be honest with you. I've blacked out for most of it. All I know is I'm freaking jacked up. I'm pumped. Gosh damn, we got so much cool stuff coming down. We got new shirts, new hats coming out. Man, if you love this podcast and you love WCB, you know what? You want to support us, be a Patreon member, or hey, go get a CC Hunt Files shirt, or go get a Casey's shirt, Casey's Pizza WCB, or, you know, man, we've got so many cool hats and shirts. Eric busts his ass over there on the podcast. When it comes to that stuff, man, I mean, most people just have no clue what he's doing. Kurt, shout out to that guy, man, just killing it with content, constantly putting out stuff. They're dropping all the Africa stuff right now, so that is freaking killer. Gosh damn, those guys killed it over there. I just can't thank you guys enough. I'm so stoked to see all your guys' success. Make sure you're sending us photos. Keep us updated. Bucks, bulls, all kinds of shit's got to hit the ground. I'm just excited. I can't wait to see it. I love the community, and I love what we've created here. As far as WCB and the community that's there, we got some new stuff coming down that I can't really talk about, but we got a few new things in the works here with some other podcasts and different things, and I'm just happy to be a part of it all. I'm just fucking stoked, and it's hunting season. I can't wait to get after it. I am so pumped to stretch my freaking legs and just go. I just can't wait to go be all in and be immersed in the mountains and just fucking get after it. And I know you guys are ready and chomping at the bit too. And man, I just can't wait to see all your guys' success. Can't thank you guys enough for the support on this podcast, the support on my Instagram and Facebook, and just you guys reaching out to me and believing in what I'm doing. And man, I just fucking love y'all. I really do. I really appreciate it. And it's been a blessing for me to have these opportunities. And gosh damn, I'm just stoked. So I'm gonna quit rambling. I got a few more things to pack, shoot this bow one more time, and gosh damn, it's time to go. I'm freaking pumped up. Try to keep you guys updated as much as I can, and you guys do the same. So hey, you guys know what to do. It's hunting season. Don't fucking settle. I'll catch you guys in a few weeks when I get off the mountains.
Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.